Tomlin and God's Great Dance Floor. It's just on 10 minutes past 11. This is My Story on UCB2. And Warren Evans is in the show. Hello.
Hello, Ruth.
You're a big UCB1 person, but this is the first time we get to hang out on UCB2. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on the show. So Warren Evans, the Chief Executive Officer, CEO of Sports Chaplaincy UK.
That's correct.
Whenever you hear that, still, I mean, you became CEO in 2015.
That's correct, yeah.
Do you ever, I mean, I suppose early days you were going, what? I cannot believe that I'm CEO of a charity.
Yeah, God's in control, and I just work with some wonderful leaders, and that's a great privilege. So I don't see myself as the boss, I see myself as a co-worker who is supported by some fantastic people, and they make me look good, so I've got to give them all the praise.
Well, big ups to the team today.
Yes.
We honour you. We do honour you.
Trustees, team, chaplains all over the country doing a fabulous job.
Thank you for keeping Warren's arms up, hey? Like Moses. You're awesome. Well, it's a real honour for me to chat to you. So thank you so much for coming to share your story, because that's what the show is all about. So looking forward to hearing that and your song choice as well. But just let's start with Sports Chaplaincy UK.
Yeah, sure.
Tell us a little bit about it. And I know that you guys are always looking for chaplains out there. So
that's correct. There's loads of opportunities. Loads of opportunities. I think Sports Chaplaincy UK has been going 27 years. The founder, John Boris, has been at Manchester United for the last 25 years plus. And it's just been having a heart to serve the community of sport. I've been privileged to be involved since 2010 in my local rugby club, and then overseeing rugby league, and then eventually becoming chief exec. And so we have a dream, and we, you know, everyone's got a mission and a vision and all this great stuff. We prayed, and we've just got a simple dream to see an expression of God's love and compassion in every community called sport. And I know when people think of sport, they think of activity, and it is an activity, but it's more than an activity. When I think of sport, I think of people, I think of a community, I think of hearts, and I think of lives. And so for me, it is to see an expression of God's love and compassion, how we can practically impact that community with the love of God. So that's our big dream. Mm-hmm. And then Sports Chaplaincy involved across the UK, in Scotland, Ireland, England, Wales, and across every sport you can think of. Football, rugby, cricket, boxing, horse racing, and everything else in between. But I always challenge people, I don't like sport. It's nothing, yes, it is a to do with sport, but think about people. And so when people think about sports chaplaincy, they generally have so many preconceived ideas. I hate sport, I love sport, we're in competition with sport. And I just say, no, sport's a community of people. And chaplaincy, well, I had preconceived ideas about chaplaincy. I don't know what you thought, an old guy in a grey suit and
yes,
a dog collar.
Absolutely.
And we should know better, but that's the strong mindset we've got. Mm. But actually, chaplaincy is simply an expression of God's love and compassion. So you put them both together, it's simply an expression of God's love and compassion to a community called sport. And that's what we want to see. And that community is massive.
So ideal person who would fit the bill when it comes to a chaplain
is anyone who's pastorally gifted, who loves people, who wants to serve their community. Anybody. We'll train, help support you, we'll equip you. Yeah, but it's anybody.
And so somebody who's, say, for instance, a parent who goes regularly to their child swimming or football matches or whatever, and they love Jesus, they're serving the church, that kind of person, you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think part of it is about being intentional. You know, when we drop off our kids or we go to the club, we're just doing an action. But when you start to be intentional, and chaplaincy makes you intentional, you think differently, because you're not thinking about me. I'm now thinking about the community I'm going to serve. So when you go and drop off your kid, instead of just dropping them off and getting enrolled in all the chit-chat, you're now looking and saying, Lord, wherever you work, can I join in? And it's about partnering with God. God's already out there. God loves people. And so it's that excitement of saying, God, I want to join you. And our responsibility as an organisation, as a charity, is simply to set you up for success. So just navigate you, tell you about the do's and don'ts, about praying for you, about just trusting God, and about really your local church, not seeing that you're just out there on a Sunday and you should be in church, but actually your local church praying and commissioning you and supporting you and seeing that that's their community as well, and praying for that community. And it's a valid community. It's massive. 30 million people involved in the community sport. We cannot reject it. We've got to engage with it.
Wow. And it does touch on all the sports, hey?
Yes.
Sports Chaplaincy UK.
Yes. Yeah, if you've got a heart for any sport, so from disability sports right through to very active, you know, well, disability sports are very active. If you've ever seen any of the disability sports, they're so active. But from disability sports to all ability sports right through to athletics, through to, yeah, I love boxing, so boxing, we've got some boxing, we've got CrossFit, we've got health gyms. There's so many opportunities. Right from club sports like football, rugby, rugby union, rugby league, horse racing, and yeah, there's just... The breadth and the opportunities are so wide. The community is so open.
So what would a chaplain then do?
Well, it's interesting because it looks different in every community. And so often that's the problem. People think, oh, do I have to do all this? No, it's you using your giftings, your personality in your community. But it can look different in every community. So for me, when I was chaplain at a rugby league club, I would go in on a Friday afternoon, see the staff and just simply walk around and say hello. And sometimes that might take 10 minutes and sometimes that might take 2 hours because someone will say, can I have a quick coffee? And they'll download on you and you just listen. So a lot of it's about being a good listener. A lot of it's about being intentional about taking the incarnational presence of God in with you. So I remember going into my club and I was in a really dark place personally. You know, we all challenge as Christians. I think so often we skirt over the challenging issues, mental health and everything. I was in a really dark place and I remember someone coming up to me and saying, you always smile, you always change the atmosphere. And it's only on reflection when I realise that wasn't me, it's God in me. And you know, God, sometimes you've just got to be willing and God will use you, despite of you, in spite of me. And that's an immense privilege.
When you say it was your club, was that your local, like, rugby club?
Or yeah, my elite football? Rugby club, yeah. My Bradford Bulls. But they've been on a journey. We've gone down the leagues, but we're on our way up. Excellent. But that's just my personal journey with that club.
Fantastic. Well, you can find out a bit more on sportschaplaincy.org.uk. My guest on the show today is the CEO of Sports Chaplaincy UK, Warren Evans.
UCB2, songs for worship and words of wisdom.
Hey ye, hey ye, a message for one and all.
If your local town crier hasn't told you already, UCB2 is available right now on DAB Digital Radio to 4 million new people. This is because extra transmitters have been switched on.
Hooray for the extra transmitters!
If you're listening to UCB2 online, you can see if this station is available on your DAB Digital Radio by pressing the auto-tune or auto-scan button. And if you get stuck, there's plenty of helpful advice at ucb.co.uk/listen.
Oh, yay!
And why not tell your friends and family? They could hear UCB2 as well and enjoy our fantastic Christian music and uplifting radio programs.
Oh, yay! Oh, yay!
I think they've got it now.
What do you need for a perfect Saturday night in?
A chicken tikka burner?
No.
Ooh, a box set of Birds of a Feather?
Possibly not.
A revitalising soak in a lavender-scented bubble bath?
Well, that sounds lovely, but no. It's actually my Saturday evening programme on UCB2, which is packed full of sustenance to entertain and to inspire you. We've got uplifting teaching from Joyce Mayer, mouth-watering food conversation, my weekly life hack, and the People's Playlist Takeover, where you have the opportunity to take control of my show. That's Saturday evening, 5 to 8, with me, Simon Tuck, on UCB2.
Hi, I'm Jared Cooper. Can you guess whose life this is? Failed in business at age 22, ran for legislature and was defeated at 23, and failed in business at 24, elected to legislature at 25, his sweetheart died at 26, had a nervous breakdown at 27, he was defeated for speaker at 29, defeated at 31, at 34, at 37, at 39, at 46, elected for president of the United States, age 51. That's Abraham Lincoln's life. Perseverance is an incredibly powerful force. Doesn't matter how many times you fail, that you get up and keep going that matters. Spurgeon said, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. In other words, you just got to keep going. James put it this way in chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures, for when he's tried, he'll receive the crown of life. I want to encourage you today, endure, keep going, pick yourself back up. There's blessing in endurance.
Thank you.
And this is My Story, New Ground Worship. And my guest on the show today, Warren Evans, the CEO of Sports Chaplaincy UK. You can find out a bit more about them. Become a chaplain, sportschaplaincy.org.uk. It would be really great if after the show there's this spike in people calling up and saying and emailing and going, I have to be a chaplain.
Amen. Get off the pew and get into serving people.
It would be amazing. I do think, though, that there's it does sound like a bit of a scary thing, but it's about personality as well as, you know, the calling. So if you naturally enjoy speaking to people, it doesn't necessarily mean that you've got to be an extrovert, though.
No, you can be an introvert. It's about, a lot of chaplaincy about listening, but it's also about carrying God's presence into that community and recognizing where God's already at work. And some of that is just being intentional and praying and just going with it. Don't let fear stop you. Just little steps make massive difference. I love a quote by a guy called Zig Ziglar. Small things done consistently creates massive change. It's like God gives us a little mustard seed. We stick it, a little bit of faith, and bang, God can do stuff. We don't always see it, but God does.
You are a PK.
I am a PK. A dreaded PK.
Yes, you are a PK. And you're one of four boys.
I'm one of
four. You're one of a twin, in fact.
I am a twin. Yes.
Right, slap bang in the middle.
I am,
I cannot
yes.
believe, you guys must have been an absolute delight for your folks to go and have another child after you.
I don't know how, having had children and boys myself who are awesome, I don't know how my mum put up with us. I don't know how my dad put up with us. Yeah, we're all big as well. So we're all over 6 foot and we all carry a little bit of timber. And yeah,
lots and lots of bread, hey, in the home,
yes,
especially
yes,
during the
it.
Teen years.
A lot of bread. Bread hungry was the, with gravy and whatever else you could get your hands on. I don't know how they could afford to feed us. Yeah, my mum and dad were just, and are still awesome. I think the challenge when I was being brought up was they're not perfect, but in my eyes, they live the walk. They walk the talk in that sense, and they live by their values. They love God and they just love on people, and on one level that's quite intimidating because it's a lot to live up to. Mm. And at times I felt I could never live up to their standards. Not that they ever pushed it on us, they didn't. They're so gracious. They just love people, love God, and so often that can be so overwhelming and that can be so challenging. And I always listen to people. I gave my life to the Lord. I remember giving my life to the Lord. I was age 5 at Easter, sitting on my dad's knee, and he says, "Have you given your life to the Lord?" And I gave my life to the Lord. And I get frustrated when people have a Damascus Road experience or a PK kid who says he won't really say for the first 25 years of their life, and then God came. No, if that was the case, I got saved yesterday, because it's all about a fresh revelation of God. And I weep a lot. I think older you get and then you have kids, you have a better understanding of the Father heart of God. And you weep a lot, not in a soppy sense, but just in a real revelation of how much God's done for us and how much he loves you and how much we fail him. And yet he still pours out his grace and his mercy and allows us to partner with him. And so for me, that's that journey right through the teenage years of pressing with God and then getting frustrated and then withdrawing, or maybe not withdrawing, but not pursuing him. And then I remember I always use this analogy. We did like most teenagers did, you know, you went to the pubs and you did the nightclubs. Nothing massive. And you could oversell it. I was a druggie and I was this and I was that. No, I wasn't. I was just a normal guy. But I did things. And I just remember it was like this dog league. Not that God graces us to sin, but we're all falling short of the glory of God. And it was like one of those extendable dog leads. And it was just like this dog lead. God had let me go out so far and it was a tug. And at that moment, I had a choice. I could continue to pursue the delights of life, or I could pursue God. And I just went, I'd never run away from God, I'd not turn my back on God, I'd just not pursued him to the level I should have pursued him. About that moment, there was a real point, not that I would have lost my salvation or anything daft like that, but I just felt, okay, it's time to come in, it's time to stop playing and start living up. And then from that day on, probably in my early 20s, I've tried my best to pursue God.
What did you want to be when you grew up? Did you want to be a pastor?
I think maybe when I was really young. And then there's a point of rejection. Because everyone says, oh, you just want to be like your dad. And so, and I've got to be honest, out of the four boys, I'm not the greatest communicator. They were more eloquent, they were better orators, they were better gifted, they were more extrovert. I was actually quite an introvert. Couldn't communicate, get my tongue twisted, and it felt like someone had cut my throat sometimes, my vocal cord, I couldn't express, would get very frustrated. But you know, God's gracious, when I look at how I went into business and all the training I did in business, it was never for business. It was always where I am now, to upskill myself, to look at people, to how we can communicate better, not based on my ability. So I guess I was the runt of the family in that sense. I was called the bonus child because I wasn't expected. So when my twin brother was born, the doctors disappeared and then I had to come back and deliver me. It's only time I had 5 minutes peace and quiet. But yeah, I've got some gifted brothers and parents. But I guess when you trust God and you just try to pursue him, God will open doors. So we can have these great plans, but I think God always directs our path. And I've tried to allow God, hold things lightly. I haven't made messes, of course I have, but I think I've tried to just pursue him. And I love people, I love my wife, I love my boys, I love my family, and fail them so often because we're so busy doing things and I need to pray more and need to be more. But yeah, we're just trying to do what God says.
And what about sport? Has that always been part of your life?
One of four lads, yes, sports, everything. When we were younger, it's different now, but when we were younger, TV, there wasn't that many channels, and whatever was on TV, you played. So stuff. If it was tennis, you were playing tennis in the yard. If it was cricket, you were playing cricket. If it was rugby, you were rugby. If it was darts, you were playing darts. If it was boxing. If it was World of Sport on a Saturday morning, the chairs went back and mum was out of the room, you were wrestling. It was just anything. That was what boys did. And you just enjoyed sport. I loved, and we played every sport. We were pretty good at most sports. And we loved sport.
And your favourite sport is?
Oh, it changes over time. I personally like playing football, but I do like watching rugby league. That's my sport. But I do like boxing and squash. So I like watching boxing. I'm too old to do any boxing, but I do like watching boxing. People say, that's strange for a pastor. You should be peaceful. But I do like boxing. But I also love playing squash.
Mm. What about in your role as a chaplain? So you never intended to be a chaplain.
No.
Tell us how you became a chaplain.
Well, that's a great story. We were living down south and we felt we were actually going to go to America. And yet God brought us back up to where we lived in Yorkshire. And we actually helped out a friend of mine who said, oh, if you're coming back, just help us out at my church for a period of time, which we did. And it's funny, on reflection, you think, oh, he was an American. And I thought I was off to America, and I helped him. And then we took on a small church ourselves, and it ticked on one level, it ticked all the wrong boxes. Not that it was a bad church, it was just old and small and on a deprived council estate, not too far from where my father's church had been. But that's where God had placed us. And in that journey, the previous chaplain, a good friend of mine, he's awesome, Pete Dale, he came up to me and said, I'm leaving, and God's told me you're next chaplain to Bradford Bulls. And I went, that's great, God's told you, why didn't you tell me? And we sort of went on a great journey, and then prayed it, and the church said yes, and that's where I became chaplain at Bradford Bulls. I journeyed within 3 months, which was really precious, and then I took on the role officially at the beginning of 2010, and that's been a roller coaster and an immense privilege.
Mm. It's an incredible charity that works alongside people, who work alongside people, and the whole heart of it is all around people and around God.
Amen.
Sportschaplaincy.org.uk is where you can find out a little bit more. Where's the Wazza come from? Who started calling you Wazza?
Well, I don't know. I guess we all have nicknames. I don't know where mine came. It used to be Wazza, and it became, I think people just Wazza. But when you're a chaplain, you get called loads of names.
Right.
Generally, it can be Wazza, because they all like short names, or Rev, or Pastor, or Warren, and generally it can change in the conversation. So, you know, I used to have he's a good guy, and he used to, hey, Wazza, how you doing? I thought, oh, great, Pastor. And as soon as he said Pastor, I knew he had girlfriend trouble, and he wanted a bacon boy, and he wanted just a download. And that's an immense privilege. It's an immense privilege that people come and just download on you. And I think part of our role as chaplains is never to judge.
Mm.
It's just to listen and give options and build up relationships. And I've had the immense privilege of building up some wonderful relationships with people.
And does it tend to be then the teammates who are actually playing the sport, and the staff and the parents? Is it the whole community that tends to, are you kind of introduced formally? How does it kind of
work? Well, I'm no longer the chaplain at the Bradford Bulls. I am still involved there because we have our offices there, and I'm chair of the charity arm of the club. But yeah, I used to be introduced as the club chaplain, as pastor for the club. And it's interesting that fans would adopt you in that sense, especially if they'd had some church connections in the past. Certainly if there was anything official like remembrance or a moment of silence, that you would be asked to do things like that. Because what people wouldn't say is, oh yeah, we want the God man in because he does it well and everyone's quiet. But they recognise when someone like yourself did it, so it was different. It carried something. It carried a degree of gravitas. We know we carry God's presence, and it carries that into the presence of many, many people. And yeah, it's different with each person. So when I was chaplain, I served the players, the coaching staff, the staff behind the scenes, the ticket lady, the cleaning lady, and it's just an immense privilege that people allow you into their life and trust you. And that's, for me, is incredibly humbling.
Are you able to share a moment that you can remember from those days of being a chaplain that you remember fondly?
There are loads, and problem is most of it's confidential, so you never want to share anything too confident. I think there was two things. One I can share is one of the players once, I was doing my MA and I interviewed him for my MA, and he said, yeah, you was great, and da 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 da, and he just said one thing that really impressed me and really touched my heart. He just said, you know, whatever I told you, some of the stuff I told you was hair curling, but you never judged me. And I felt, Okay, I'd not done a bad job there. Mm. I'd left him. I sowed a seed into his life. He knows where I am, and I sowed a seed in his life. He didn't feel judged. He felt able to share with me, and I was able to share with him and pray with him. And then there was another time when I was actually going to a men's conference, and I only ever went in on a Friday afternoon and Sunday when they played, and I had this unction. Maybe I'd had cheese in the night before or whatever. I'd slept bad, but I just had this feeling. Let's say it was the Holy Spirit, hopefully it was, to go into the club in that morning. I don't even know what time the doors open. And so I turned up at just after 8 o'clock, and everyone started turning up at 8:15. And I went in, and that day there were just some significant issues that allowed me to speak life and hope into people's lives. And I remember one lady, and I've got permission, she just went... her son was having challenges and their marriage went through a tough time. But they were a great couple. They loved each other, still love each other, back together. And she went, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have been back together. Because I just spoke hope and life. I didn't speak nonsense. I saw how they were. And another one was a husband was found with cancer, and I had the privilege of taking his funeral service. And so often it's about meeting people where they're at and not telling people, but just trying to be an expression of God. And sometimes that can sound woolly. But it's not, because we've got to look at the long journey. It's not about a quick win. It's about being sensitive to God and sensitive to people. And people have the free will to reject God. But hopefully if you engage them on a journey, they see something of God they've never seen before. And that triggers something that allows them to ask questions. I know people ask me some tough questions. So what do you think? I said, I just know this. God's got the best for you. So journey it with God.
Amen. What does your dad think of what you do now?
Oh, my dad.
Does he know what you do?
Yes, of course he does, yes. I think he's on one level he says, I'm a little envious because I wish I could have been chaplain to my favourite rugby team. But, yeah, my dad's awesome, yeah.
Amazing. Because you are really a pastor.
Yes, that's the nature of the beast.
You don't have a congregation per se, but everybody...
No, I don't. I'm blessed to be part of a great church, and a great supportive leadership team at Life Church. But you are who you are. And for me, it's about releasing people. As a minister, it's about releasing people into the giftings that God's got for them. And there's so many opportunities out there. And it's about, yes, the gathered church, but it's also about the whole Great Commission. Go! And hopefully I can encourage people to go.
What about leading somebody to Christ? Has that ever happened? Have you ever had that privilege as a chaplain? Do you hear of that kind of thing happening?
Yeah, it's not something we promote, because we want people to go in open-handed. So we're not going to reject someone if they reject Jesus. We're constantly going to serve them open-handed, transparently, with love and grace and mercy. But it's also a great privilege to lead someone to the Lord. I won't give any examples, but yes, there are opportunities when people... We would always say we're pastorally proactive, spiritually reactive, which generally means we're looking out to help people. And if someone wants to ask that question, why do you do what you do? Yes, I can share my answers. But also some people are navigating. People are body, mind and spirit. And however they want to reject it, there's a gap in their life. And I would always call it the G-gap. And the only person that can fill that is Jesus Christ, in my opinion. And then people engage that journey. And so often I don't want to... lead someone in that sinner's prayer, in the sense of that's the start of the journey. So often we think, oh, there's still that's we've got to look at discipleship as going from frozen to making a decision to discipleship being 25 years, not a 5-10 minute journey. And for us in football and rugby and all the team sports, it's sometimes just passing on the baton. For me, when I went chaplaincy, God, what's all that about? The scripture that came to mind was, Paul plants, Apollo waters, but God makes grow. My responsibility, and that doesn't abdicate my responsibility, my responsibility is to plant. My responsibility is to water. I can't save anybody. God makes grow. But I can help people on that journey.
And you were pivotal, you were quite key in your wife coming to know Christ.
Yeah, well, I think it was all God, but yes, it was. we met, and it's interesting. I nearly got married previously. Nearly. But it's funny, God ordains your footsteps. And through that journey, I remember God challenging me. People say God doesn't test you. God does test you. And my challenge on that journey was, why can you obey me in the big things and not in the small? And it really it hit me. It was one of those uppercuts in the solar plexus that winded you. But then I was privileged to meet my wife. She wasn't saved. And I thought, oh, well, it was lovely and nice. And we met in Leicester, or actually in Derby, with through a mutual friend. And she went, oh, do you want to swap numbers? And I've got to be honest, I've shared this story. It sounds awful. I'm thinking, I have no intent. I'm going to Bible college. I was just about to leave work and go to Bible college. I'm thinking, I don't need the distraction. Not really. I have no intention of coming to Derby. You know, we talk about God and there's a moment of revelation, but you can have something that happens automatically. So in the natural, what happened was we swapped business cards just like that. But actually, in the spirit, I had a 10-minute conversation with God saying, God, I have no intentions of coming out of Derby. I had this discussion with God, and God said, if you don't share me with her, who will? And it wasn't flirt to convert. I always tell young people off about that. But because I didn't, that wasn't the intention. But, you know, God knew. And I was very privileged to be, pivotal.
Part of her journey.
Mm. And still part of it. Yeah, but she's an immense lady, and yeah, I get a bit emotional because she's awesome, and God has moved in her life, and through that journey we got together, and yeah, we're blessed.
What's her name?
Juliet. Her Romeo.
I love it. Hello, Juliet. I'd love to play a song for you. It's one of the things that we like to do on the program. Tell us a bit about this song choice.
Well, it's one, a friend wrote it, so Matt Hooper's a great friend of mine. But it's We Believe, and the reason I love We Believe is just the simple truth in a song. It's the Apostles' Creed, where you can declare God's truth in worship, and that's why I love it.
Now, before we do that, I know that, you know, one of your real passions is about coming into a space, into a room, into a, you know, being with people and bringing Christ with you. It's about that changing of the atmosphere. For somebody who's listening in right now, how does that happen? How do we understand? It's one of the things that I've spoken loosely about on this show so many times over the last few months, really, in particular, about identity.
Yep.
And about your authority in Christ.
Yep.
Knowing who you are in Christ. For somebody who's listening in right now and just unsure about that, and maybe feeling a little bit like, who am I, you know, a bit like you, the least of the boys.
And I think that's it's a real challenge, because based on your personality, you can, and so often we live our life by Twitter version, sound bites. And actually the truth is, I'm fallen, I'm a sinner, I'm worthless. But the truth is also, I'm a child of God. I have everything, I'm more than a conqueror. And it's holding those in tension. And so when we talk about the presence of God, it's just, if you don't know the Word of God, you've got to read the Bible, because the Bible is the truth, and it sets things in, it says what you can, it says who you are. And so when you elevate God above your own opinion, you've got to stop saying, I'm useless, because God says you're not. And it's about reading that truth and hearing that truth. Faith comes by hearing. You know, when I'm struggling, when I was going through a really challenging patch at times, the only thing I could do was lie in my bed and play scripture, because that's the only thing I knew. Faith comes by hearing. And I knew I was taking it. But, you know, something stirs in your spirit. And whatever you think and feel, we don't base our judgment on feelings. And so, therefore, sometimes it's about intentionally saying, if that's what God says about me, I'm going to go and I'm going to look at people differently. And for me, it's about looking at a community through the eyes of a compassionate God. If we look at a community, and most people do look at sport, but I look at any community, and we see what everyone else sees, are we any different? You know, we're so inward looking, but church is God's plan A. My challenge to me, as part of the local church, is to say, look at our communities through the eyes of a compassionate God. And when we do, we see what he sees, and that moves us to respond differently. And so when we go into communities, it can be daunting, but then you've got to realise he's already there. Mm. And actually, he's inside of us. And it's allowing just the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. And sometimes we feel so inadequate, but sometimes it's just saying, you know, if someone comes up and you see someone struggling, you just say, how are you doing? And they share something challenging with you, and you think, I don't know what to do. Just say, I'm really sorry. Don't try and give them answers. Just say, I'm really sorry, but I'll be thinking and praying for you this week. And do that. Because God hears and God answers.
And then ask them how they're doing.
Exactly.
Next time you see them.
That's right.
Amazing. Because there was a time when, and you hinted at it, when you were feeling low.
Yep.
And somebody said to you that you're always smiling.
Yeah. And
you changed the atmosphere.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't even realise you're doing it. And I think there's a scripture, one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is about Samson. And it says, the Spirit of God left him and yet he knew not. But so often for us as Christians, or believers in a living, compassionate, gracious God, We are full of him, and yet so often the opposite is true for us. We're not aware that we're carrying his Holy Spirit. We're not aware that we're carrying the God inside of us. Yeah, and when we're aware of that, people are, when we're intentional. And it's about starting your day strong and saying, God, just forget about who I am, but allow, use me. Me, feeble, fumbling about, but use me. And guess what? God will use you. And it doesn't matter if you're seeing elite athletes or you're seeing the man on the corner. You know, God sees everyone as valuable, important and precious. And so for me, it's about seeing everybody, from the cleaner to the chief exec, to the owner, to the groundskeeper. Everybody's important. And actually, when you see people as important, something emanates from you. That's called the love of God. Mm. And it's an immense privilege.
Beautiful. Love it. Warren Evans is my guest on the show today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
I'm going to wrap up with your song. It's Matt Hooper from Life Church, and We Believe.
In a time of desperation, doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. Start to help us see there is only one salvation. We believe in God the Father. We believe.
love it. The creed. What is it that you live by? We believe. Life worship. Warren Evans's song choice. Hey, if you want to find out a bit more about how you can be a sports chaplain, you need to be. If it's, you know, as he was speaking, you're just going, I don't know, it sounds scary, but maybe that's what I should do. Please just find out. Just get in touch with them. sportschaplaincy.org.uk. So on the way at 12 o'clock, we've got the news program and then back-to-back praise and worship and the word for today. At 12:30, it's lunchtime worship.